Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, it is available on Spotify. Well, we got through another week, friends. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying good to one another. Be good to one another. And hope you got to watch some good movies over the last week. And I will get to your list in a little bit. But first, a little shameless plugging before I go through my list. Over at the Cat Theater, October 2nd through the 4th and 9th and 10th, the Cat Theater, of course, is up in Carmel. There's going to be a live theatrical production radio style. It's going to be done like a radio play of Neil Simon's Plaza Suite. And a shameless plug and full disclosure, yours truly is the director of this theatrical epic. You can go to The Cat Theater, re.com for ticket information, or you can go to indiebardfest.com for all the info. It's a fun new twist on the Neil Simon classic comedy, three acts, and three different days in the same hotel suite at the Plaza Hotel in New York City. Anyway, Cat Theater, Plaza Suite, October 2nd through the 4th and 9th and 10th at the Cat Theater in Carmel. CatTheater.com for tickets. Okay, getting to my list, new from IFC is a food documentary, and it's interesting that we have Food Network and Cooking Channel and Create TV, and you can see more documentaries and more reality shows and more cooking shows now more than ever before. So it's interesting to see why IFC would make a documentary, and it's Adelenghi and the Cakes of Versailles. And if you're a fan of food and art and history, here's the film for you. Here's the documentary for you. And I'm a fan of these as well. And I'm a big Food Network, food TV person. As you know, a lot of the guests and regular guests on this show's history have involved those folks. So this is set in New York in the summer of 2018 at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And they are going to have an exhibit based on the work of from Versailles. And they've brought in Yotam Adelenghi, an Israeli chef living in London, to do a food event to celebrate the opening of the exhibit. So we get you got not only Adelenghi, but him hiring his crew, his steady team of players, and the different dishes that are going to be made for this event. I forgot that the Met is 2 million square feet. That's a lot. That's a city in itself. And so you see the gathering of the team, the requests made by that team in order to create their stuff, the perfectionism of the team, the triumphs, the problems. You know, kind of a spoiler alert on the end of this. It's only a 75-minute romp, but if you love looking at food being created artistically and you love looking at art, this is the film for you. And it's a lovely aftermath, a lovely behind the scenes of the kitchen, as well as behind the scenes of what happens when you have food and liquid inside a museum. And there's a lovely aftermath that you don't see in other documentaries, where you have the Versailles history coinciding with the cleaning up of the museum after the exhibit. So it's a fun piece of cinematic comfort food if you, like I said, like food and art and history from IFC, Adelenghi, and the Cakes of Versailles. Also out of courtesy of Film Movement, a Canadian comedy called The Dancing Dogs of Dombrowa. We have two siblings, brother and sister, adults, who are traveling to Poland to fulfill their dying grandmother's last wish, to find and bring home the remains of the dog from her childhood. So you have dutiful grandkids doing what their grandmother wants, even though the siblings do not like each other. There's a history of problems, and of course, in the next 90-100 minutes, they're going to discuss it and eventually solve it. You have the fish out of water story. Canadians stuck in a small Polish town. Is the car they're getting into actually a taxi or an Uber or a Lyft, or is it just one of the local folks who just happens to have a car that has some issues with it? You have the kind of fish out of water story and the small cinematic Euro town, not quite Local Hero or Waking Ned Divine. And we get the dynamics with the brother Aaron and the sister Sarah. He's uptight and has a government job. She's more carefree, fly by the seat of her pants, but has had rehab and is not drinking. We get the obligatory sibling fight 40 minutes into the film, even though the opening scene they're already snipping at each other. The film could be a lot more broad, and if it was a studio film, you would have that. You would have the wacky Canadians or the wacky Polish folks and their weird rituals and a lot of reaction shots. And that does not happen in this film, but it is kind of a by the numbers indie film, harmless. Good performances run the two leads, as well as the folks who make up of this small Polish village. You know at the very beginning how it's going to turn out, but it does have a lovely ending, and I guess this is another version of cinematic comfort food, because it's not it doesn't break any new ground, but it's not offensive and it's not dumb either. So, The Dancing Dogs of Dombrowa, courtesy of IndiePix and also a Film Movement. So, and that is from Canada. Okay, speaking of Film Movements, as part of their Film Movement Classic series, the 1972 documentary I'm a Dancer, which follows the training and the final results of three particular pieces of ballet dancer Rudolf Nureyev, who I have to say I actually got to see in college. He had a tour that came to Emmons Auditorium at Ball State, the Ball State University, back when I was in college in the early 90s. And, you know, even though he is past the prime age, he was still able to hoof it. I'm sure he'd love to hear that on the ballet floor, on the dance floor, so to speak. But the fact that this is a 1972 documentary, so we get to see the training. And I don't know how much behind-the-scenes footage there was of ballets and ballet dancers at this time. We do get a full performance of some traditional and some modern pieces with different lady dancers working with him. The only cinema, and it's a lot of straightforward just camera work. There is a kaleidoscope moment as far as camera trickery, and you have the narrator providing the narrative of the dance. For instance, Sleeping Beauty and a couple others, just in case you can't quite follow it. And a quote from Nureyev that I wrote in my notes, "While I'm working, I'm contempt." And that's for a lot of artists, not just dancers. So it is if you're a fan of dance and Nureyev in his prime, check this out. It's on Film Movement Classics from 1972, I'm a Dancer. So going back to last week, and by the way, I want to thank the nice people over at Family Video on Post that are closing. I wound up getting a stack of movies from them at a discounted rate, one of which was the music documentary Soul Power, which was the concert festival that was supposed to happen in 1974 in Zaire to coincide with the Muhammad Ali George Foreman fight. The fight got delayed because Foreman had an injury, but the concert went on, and you had American artists like the Spinners, B.B. King, James Brown, all going over to Africa and performing, as well as a slew of African artists. And so you see the behind the scenes, as well as performances by at least one song by the headlining artist, Bill Withers, as well. And I love the documentary When We Were Kings. I know Criterion has a treatment of it that I would like to get my hands on. And but this is a really good 70s concert footage, and it's so I got to revisit Soul Power. And I also, yes, I have this on Blu-ray, and I think I got it because it was just a couple of bucks, but I revisited Darren Aronofsky's film Mother. Yes, the one with Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem, where basically Javier Bardem is Jesus and Michelle Pfeiffer and Ed Harris are Adam and Eve. Their sons are Cain and Abel. And apparently Jennifer Lawrence is Mother Earth. Javier Bardem is God. Jennifer Lawrence is Mother Earth. This was a film that angered a lot of people when it came out. I remember seeing this at Glendale Cinema at like 11 o'clock in the morning on a Friday before coming to do this show. And it was just a handful of people about my age, maybe older. And there were people there that went in going to expect to see a Jennifer Lawrence film. What they got, in fact, was a Darren Aronofsky film. Big difference in this case. They only worked together once. And it really, really pushes the boundaries. And it's kind of a how far will they go? And looking back at it a second time, I think I picked up on what they were trying to do when they introduced the two sons of Michelle Pfeiffer and Ed Harris. Yeah, Cain and Abel. And just also curious is to see how far they were going to go with this premise. And they go quite a bit. What probably didn't help matters as well was some of the artwork was very similar to Rosemary's Baby. So if you know that film and you know that climax, there's a little bit of that in there as well. But I know a lot of people who never want to see this film again, and I understand that. But because I am able to look at it with experienced eyes this time around, it still shakes your foundation, but not quite the same as when you were in a dark theater. But anyway, that got to revisit Darren Aronofsky's Mother. Darren likes to push it. And my favorite Aronofsky film is still The Wrestler. And that's all there is to it. I also revisited Todd Haynes' Carol. I was talking with two of my actors in Plaza Suite, and we were talking a lot about 40s and 50s melodramas, and the fact that Todd Haynes has been able to do this with Far From Heaven, with his HBO production of Mildred Pierce, and do it with Carol, of taking the melodrama concept and making the acting more rooted and natural, and it doesn't feel like huge voice and huge gestures, which did plague some of the 40s and 50s films. That's why the Douglas Sirk films are still looked upon fondly, because it was more subdued, considerably more subdued than, say, the films of the 20s and 30s. And of course, in this, it's Rooney Mara and Cate Blanchett, who it's fun watching those two verbally dance with each other. So got to revisit that. Also saw also on video, it was a 2017 film from Portugal called Amor Amor, which looking into it, didn't know anything about it, but I find out it is adapted from a 17th century play, La Place Royale, only this time it's set in modern Lisbon, or in this case, 2017 Lisbon. You have two best friends, in which the younger brother of one of the friends has a crush on her friend, the two lady BFFs. And even though she is older than he, but she's in a relationship, the boyfriend knows that the brother is in a relationship. It's a tangled web that, you know, as I said, comes from a 17th century play, but still holds up character-wise and decisions made by people. Still hold up today, even though this was written in the 17th century. It's a tangled web, and pretty good. If you know these kind of classical plays, it doesn't. And of course, this is with a modern setting, does not have the flowery language of the 17th century, but has characters from today. And that's part of the reason why some of the classical plays, like Shakespeare, like Chekhov, like Moliere, we still do these plays today, is because the actions and the behavior are still happening. So anyway, it is out on video as well, called Amour Amour. Finally, we go to a film that I watched because of me working on and directing the play Plaza Suite, which is happening at the Cat Theater, the 2nd through the 4th, as well as the 9th and 10th at the Cat Theater in Carmel. The play is set in 1968, and there's a whole act two is about a Hollywood producer meeting up with his high school girlfriend, and Frank Sinatra is brought up, and it was just a great excuse to revisit the 1968 gritty drama The Detective, with Frank Sinatra, Lee Remick, Robert Duvall, Al Freeman Jr., Ralph Meeker, Jack Klugman, young Tom Atkins, and yes, Jacqueline Bisset. And this is a film I really got to know from the documentary The Celluloid Closet. A gay man is killed, and Sinatra's character becomes famous because he forces a confession out of a man who is executed, but he gets all the press for capturing the killer. Even though, as we watch in the film, Sinatra's character realizes they got the wrong man. And so we look at police corruption. We look back at his troubled relationships with his wife, played by Lee Remick, and also the fact that the husband of Jacqueline Bisset is a suspect, also in the closet, also because it's 60s, self-loathing and in the closet. But this was a film that talked about that brought homosexuality to a mainstream film. Not the most flattering image, but one nonetheless. Anyway, as a side note, check out The Celluloid Closet, which is a great documentary about the images of gays and lesbians in cinema. And this was probably the last serious drama for Frank Sinatra. He'd do a handful of films like Tony Rome and Lady in Cement and Dirty Dingus McGee. And then he'd have another drama in 1980 called The First Deadly Sin with Faye Dunaway. But this was one that looked like he was actually caring and actually doing more than one take, even though it was directed by Gordon Douglas, which was one of his favorites. But it's a grittier tale for 1968 for a mainstream film. This is a year after Bonnie and Clyde, so it's not particularly violent, but I think it's more of a grown-up nature. I don't like to say adult nature because I don't like saying the term adult movies, because you think of something else. Anyway, just a good excuse to revisit Frank Sinatra in The Detective. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. The drive-ins are still open. Let's see. There is no movie on Friday because of the Hannibal Buress show. On Screen 2 is just Tenet. Screen 3, you have the Rocky Horror Picture Show and Little Shop of Horrors. And on Screen 4, you have the Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince and Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. All of that is happening at the Tibbs Drive-In. Over at the Skyline Drive-In, you have the Pandemonium Picture Show with films like Drive-In, Mad Dog Morgan, The Astro Zombies, The Young Cycle Girls, Paul Morrissey's Frankenstein, Rolling Thunder. There's a live burlesque show happening there. So go to theskylinedrivein.com for all the information happening this weekend as a part of the Pandemonium Picture Show. Over at IU Cinema, and before we get to IU Cinema, salute to John Vickers, who is leaving his post as the founding director of IU Cinema. Thank you, John. I had him on the show, and he's a lovely man, and I was a good guest, and he's made quite the thing down there at IU Cinema, so salute to John. Just a reminder, these, of course, are virtual shows. Running through September 30th is the documentary Represent, as well as the 2019 drama Papachia, which is running through October 1st. Made in Bangladesh is running through September 30th. I Used to Go Here is going to be running through October 3rd. And yes, they are going to, on Friday, September 25th, today through Thursday, October 8th, you can revisit the documentary RBG. And while we're at it, I know some theaters are rescreening that, physical theaters, as well as virtual screenings of RBG, as well as On the Basis of Sex. So salute to the notorious RBG. Also, the 2020 comedy Dead is running through October 7th. So all of that is happening. And then Tuesday, September 29th, Cinema Paradiso, and a note saying the event will take place at Memorial Stadium, not in IU Cinema. This will be an outdoor screening of the film, which is perfect if you know Cinema Paradiso. So anyway, that is happening all at IU Cinema. At the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin this weekend, they are showing Hocus Pocus, 7:30 p.m., 2 and 7:30 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, and 2 p.m. on Sunday. And also coming soon on October 2nd and 3rd, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, October 9th and 10th. The Bride of Frankenstein, October 16th and 17th, The Horror of Dracula. Those are 2 and 7:30 p.m. performances, screenings at the Art Craft Theater in Franklin. Oh, and have I mentioned Plaza Suite at the Cat Theater, October 2nd through the 4th and 9th and 10th. Thecattheater.com for all the information there. All right, let's get to what you have been watching here. Well, not here on Film Sociology, but I'll go through your... This is the grab a pencil portion here at Film Sociology. And we start, as usual, via my email from my buddy Eric. His first-time viewings. First, we start with the Sam Fuller drama House of Bamboo, which he deemed fair. That's the one with Robert Ryan and Robert Stack. And then from 1966, Katoram, which he dubbed a competent 60s epic. And then The Social Dilemma as outstanding. That's, of course, the time-release poison pill of a documentary, he puts it, about the negative impact on social media. So thank you, Eric. Going over to Twitter, Jim Poyser. Hi, Jim. Jim has a new book. Check out Jim on social media and look for his book. But he also watched the Social Dilemma. Surely Not Me writes, I'm thinking of ending things and private life. We always have to remember this is a title, not a declaration. Liz Joss writes, Seabiscuit, catching up on things we missed. Okay. I just have to write this. It has nothing to do with, well, it sort of has to do with it. But Richard Probst, who's been on this show many, many times, I got that look a couple weeks ago when I went to Target Optical and told them I wanted frames just like Michael Douglas in Falling Down. Falling Down reference, that's pretty good. All right. Going over to my Facebook page. Darren writes, The Social Dilemma. There's been a lot of that lately. Daniel writes, The Scar. It, the original one for television, How to Marry a Millionaire, Schenectady, New York, Dick, O. Henry's Funhouse, The Burnt Orange Heresy, The Unbearable Lightness of Being, Sherlock, The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother, Murder by Decree, and Alice. Thank you, Daniel. Nick writes Cube, Cube 2, Hypercube, Popcorn, the one from 1991, and Almost Done with The Sopranos. Dustin writes, Grand Hotel, Carmen Jones, The Man with the Golden Arm, Birdman of Alcatraz, Sweet Bird of Youth, Cat Ballou, The China Syndrome, and Coal Miner's Daughter. Britt writes, The Founder, Harvey, The Kid from Brooklyn, Look for the Silver Lining, and Enola Holmes. Jed writes, I rewatched a movie that truly gave me nightmares as a kid, Puppet Master 2, Great B-Movie. Mark writes, Skyfall and Timbuktu, two very different takes on international relations. Joe writes, The Trial of the Chicago 7. Mia writes, 10,000 Hours of Coco Melon. Well, that's going to happen. That's all right there. Eric writes, After all the news last week, I opted for something mindless, so I married an axe murderer. Again, title. He knows, and we know. Joshua writes, Man of the Year, Gemini Man, Rambo Last Blood, War Games, The Final Cut. And he says, one of them was good. And I bring this up because I mentioned Joshua. Also, happy birthday to film sociology regular Robert Irvine. Hope to get him back on the show very soon. Carrie writes, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Patty writes, Enola Holmes, and dubbed Loved It. Nancy writes, First Cow. Cassandra writes, Guardians of the Galaxy and Bombshell, both excellent. Taylor writes, Alona Holmes, fabulous takeoff on Sherlock. Foreign Correspondent, Gilda, The Birdcage, Sky Murder, Lone Wolf and Cub, Baby Cart and Demon Hall, Spaceballs, Spotlight, It Happened One Night, and Birds of Prey. Ezra writes, watch The Greatest Showman. Never knew Wolverine could sing. Go figure. Yeah, he's already done a couple shows on Broadway. The story of The Man from Oz and Oklahoma. And apparently, according to Joni, he will be starring in The Music Man on Broadway when, if, it opens next spring. Jamie writes, Twilight, New Moon, Eclipse, and Breaking Dawn, Part 1 and Part 2. Titanic. And then she puts in parentheses, P.S., she still sinks. Annie writes, Ebola Holmes. I think that's a mistype. That's fun. It's a wonderful flick. Watch it. Cassie writes, The Birdcage is the only movie I watched this week. Been watching Ratchet on Netflix. Emma has also been watching Ratchet and enjoying it. Molly writes, My Fellow Americans, Booksmart, Palm Springs, Saving Mr. Banks, and Captain Marvel. And Annie types in, I hate autocorrect, Enola Holmes is the movie. Watch it. Missy writes, I started Glory but haven't had a chance to finish it yet. Well, hopefully you finished it by now. Charity writes, The Social Dilemma on Netflix. Alan writes, The Sound of Music, Cherry Poppers, and The Poseidon Adventure. Julia writes, did a Coppola-Murray double feature with Lost in Translation and On the Rocks. Chloe writes, I'm thinking of ending things. Camille writes, I went to watch the New Mutants movie. Turns out I'm a big wimp and faceless smiling monsters are not my thing. Everything else was great, though. Camille, there's nothing wrong with that. Rachel writes, The Nice Guys. Sean writes, due to my obsession with Lovecraft Country, revisited Eve's Bayou. Still a beautiful film. Cassie Lemon's vision was so unique from the kind of films made at that time and mostly today. Yeah, I'm with you, Sean. Laura and I, our buddy Laura Jansen, just gush over Eve's Bayou. Still, that film still holds up. David writes, had a little Zemeckis triple feature. I had never seen I Want to Hold Your Hand, Used Cars, or Romancing the Stone. And David, I saw all three in the theaters when they came out, so I'm glad you got that. And I Want to Hold Your Hand is on Criterion. And fun performance. Used Cars is just It's a horny used car movie, and Kurt Russell's good in it. That's a beer and pizza movie right there. All three of them are, really. And yes, we know the scene with Kathleen Turner and Mud. Rachel writes, the complete works of Shakespeare abridged and Ratchet and Clank. Very good. Catherine writes, The Witches of Eastwick and The Witches. Mm-hmm. Craig writes, The Leopard, The Work, and The General. Tony Armstrong's one of my actors in Plaza Suite, as he put it, in the heat of the night, scored by Rashida's dad. That's, of course, Quincy Jones, and the loneliness of the long distance runner. Alex chimed in, I'm taking a break from TV and movies. I've been reading a lot and painting. Starting October 1st, I will do 31 horror movies a day. You mean you're going to do a horror movie once a day for 31 days, I think is what you meant. Joni writes, we tried a production of Wuthering Heights from the 1990s with Ralph Fiennes and Juliette Binoche. We could not finish it. It happens. Drew writes, Antebellum, thumbs down. Story mainly, it was a great premise that they got a little too clever with, and it was very ham-handed. Acting was all good. Diana writes, Cobra Kai, all of it. I'm thinking of ending things, The Devil of all the Time, and The Take. Helen writes, Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Death Becomes Her. Spencer writes, My Octopus Teacher. David writes, One Train Later, the Andy Summers documentary about the police, as well as Colin Hay, Waiting for My Real Life. Mark writes, We're coming up on the season, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Janet writes, Guardians of the Galaxy, Predator, Sneakers, Enemy of the State, The Muppet Movie, and Hamilton. Eric's a wise apple. Eric writes, that one where the one guy kills a guy who kills a bunch of other guys and all the girls die too. Megan writes, Enola Holmes, fabulous lead by Millie Bobby Brown. Chad writes, The Telephone. Gary writes, Mystery Science Theater versions of The Land That Time Forgot, Cry Wilderness, Ator the Flying Eagle, and Cinematic Titanic's version of Rattlers. Moveen writes, Not to Be Missed, Wildlife, directed by first-time director Paul Dano with Jake Gyllenhaal, Carey Mulligan, and Ed Oxenbould, based on Richard Ford's novel And another notable documentary from HBO, True Justice, Bryan Stevenson Fight for Equality. Debbie writes, she asked, does Alfred Hitchcock Presents count? Well, you watched it. It's a series. It's not a movie, but okay. Joe writes Flight, the Denzel Washington film. Melissa writes City Slickers. Abby writes Misery and Pet Sematary. Mason writes Losing My Mind Over Pen 15. It's like Broad City meets the Wonder Years. And finally, Andra Fay writes Contagion and Clute. Now that's a double bill. And that's it, folks. So I want to end this week's film sociology with some dead people we like, because, of course, we never have time for dead people we don't like. Actor Michael Lonsdale passed away earlier this week. French actor, but known here in the States. He was LaBelle in the original Day of the Jackal from 1973. He was in the Buñuel film The Phantom of Liberty. Left-handed woman, probably best known as Hugo Drax, the main villain in the James Bond film Moonraker from 1979. Also appeared in Chariots of Fire, Enigma, The Hallcraft Covenant. Hot page turning here at Film Sociology. Wolchek, The Remains of the Day, played Louis the 16th in the Merchant Ivory film Jefferson in Paris, and was Jean-Pierre in Ronin. He also appeared in Goya's Ghost. Also passing away this week is Ron Cobb, best known for, he was the program designer on, production designer, I should say, on Conan the Barbarian, as well as The Last Starfighter, and worked in the art department for Star Wars, Alien, was a production artist on Raiders of the Lost Ark, conceptual designer on Aliens, and concept artist on Alien, conceptual designer on The Abyss, conceptual artist on Total Recall, conceptual artist on Titan AE, and conceptual artist on Southland Tales, among others. Was a consultant for the DeLorean time travel moment in Back to the Future, and also worked on the laser technology in Real Genius. So salute there. And Michael Chapman, an Academy Award-nominated cinematographer, he received two nominations, one for Raging Bull, the other for The Fugitive. Now, I'm a big Raging Bull defender, so of course I went, oh, what won the Academy Award for cinematography in 1980? And it was Roman Polanski's Tess. So I guess I understand that. But some of his work as a photographer, his first director of photography gig, 1973's The Last Detail. Also did The White Dawn, Taxi Driver, The Front, Fingers, The Last Waltz, the 1978 Philip Kaufman version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Hardcore, The Wanderers, Raging Bull, Personal Best. He also did two Steve Martin films back to back, and one that the Soucy family visited earlier this year, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. So kudos to Michael Chapman for matching the black and white photography of all of those black and white movies from the 40s. He also did The Man with Two Brains, The Lost Boys, Shoot to Kill, Scrooge, Ghostbusters 2, Kindergarten Cop. See what the films are kind of. Yeah. Got nominated in 93 for The Fugitive, Rising Sun, Space Jam, The Story of Us, Evolution. His last credit was in 2007 with Bridge to Terabithia. And he directed two films. He did All the Right Moves, the Tom Cruise football movie with Craig T. Nelson and Leah Thompson. You know, guys, you know. And then from 1986, he also directed Clan of the Cave Bear. And my wife has that book in our room right now. And finally, this lifelong Lions fan salutes Chicago Bears running back Gale Sayers. And of course, you mentioned Gale Sayers. Especially on a film show, you have to mention Brian's song with Billy Dee Williams and James Caan. I know they remade it a decade or so back. I don't acknowledge that. Brian's song, the film that made it okay for jocks to cry at the movies. So there you go. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. theaters are open, and of course the drive-ins are still open while it's still kind of warm. And of course Plaza Suite is happening October 2nd through the 4th and 9th and 10th at the Cat Theater in Carmel. You can go to cattheater.com or indiebardfest.com for all the ticket information. Full disclosure, yours truly is directing it. And it's been therapeutic for me. It's a socially distanced production. We have four actors and a sound effects table, and there'll be distance, and we're doing it like a radio play. Patrons will be asked to wear masks in the studio, in the theater, and then everybody goes outside for intermission. But to be back in rehearsal mode and checking everybody's temperature, cleaning everything as we're done, and so far we've been doing it right and doing it safely, and hopefully this will help cure me to eventually go into a movie theater. Don't know if I can go with other members of the public. I wouldn't mind going to a screening with members of the IFJA because I know them. So anyway, that's kind of where my head is right now. So if you're ready to go see live theater, and I hope you are, if you're ready to go see movies in the theater or at the drive-in, that's out there, or you can just keep streaming and keep. Hopefully, you are finding films that are new or new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. So thanks for listening, and hang in there, friends. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay sane, and be good to one another. And we'll do this again next week. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live!